In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, happy Monday morning to you. This is Mark Widmer, and I'm here with Pastor Ken Keltner, the senior pastor at Brookside Baptist Church. And we are here on Word for Life, and we're working our way through the book of Judges and in chapter 1. Just before we get into the text, this is somewhat of a special week for us. Every summer on Wednesday evenings, we do cookout and Bible study on Wednesday evening on the church property. And so that begins this Wednesday at 5:30 with just a great cookout of burgers and so forth, and then a time of just fellowship with people, and then we do a Bible study at about 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the evening. And we'd love to have you come join us. And so if you're able to do that, that would be wonderful. As we're in the book of Judges, we left off on Friday in verse 21 of chapter 1, talking about the children of Benjamin and their inability to accomplish what God had for them. So I'd like to read again verse 21 as Pastor Ken then begins to take us through this. But the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem. So the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day.
You know, and they weren't to be intermarrying either, and they'd become, you know, this erosion was starting gradually, but then it's followed up with this tolerance, and the Benjamites traded the challenge of conquest for the comfort of just co-residency with the Canaanites. I mean, it was their choice. They chose to regard these Canaanites as less offensive, less dangerous, and the threat of their gods less serious than God's warnings on this matter. I mean, way back in Deuteronomy chapter 30, God was telling them, he was giving them a warning, but they seem to think they know better. And we're going to see that they soon just start marrying some of these Jebusites even. I mean, can you see and hear kind of really what's going on? I mean, after all, you married a Canaanite, she has an opinion on religion.
Mm-hmm.
After all, you don't want her nagging you all the time so you can go along and just let her keep some of those trinkets there in the house. I mean, it's just a little piece of silver, you know. You come home after a long day at the factory and you say, I'm not going to worry about what she wants to worship. Doesn't mean I have to worship it. She can just keep it on the shelf if she wants. I tell you, erosion just can just continue to chip away in our lives. This summer, Pastor Mark, as you know, we're going to be taking a group of young people to the island of St. Vincent and ministering. And there's a Bible college up on a hill overlooking some of the Grenadine islands that are around St. Vincent. And some of them are inhabited, some aren't. I think there's like 32 islands around. But up on that hill, you can look out and see a couple, three or four islands. And yet, every time I go there, there's a spot where, as you look down on the beach, you can tell that there's a rock cliff that just, over time, just seems to keep disappearing. I mean, these waves are just pounding it. And probably when you live there, you don't really notice it because, you know, the water and these waves crashing against this, you know, this huge cliff of rock just... You know, remove a little piece of rock here and a little piece of dirt there, and little by little, inch by inch, spiritual erosion starts to take place. So it's no surprise that Benjamin later served as the geographical context for a final case study in, I think, one of the most explicit and yet just horrible chapters of depravity in chapters 19 through 21. I mean, you read that and you think, this is horrible. And so it starts to erode, they become tolerant, and it ends with philosophy really ruling, that the end justifies the means. In other words, This is where we want the goal so bad that we'll choose whatever method, right or wrong, to achieve our goal. They need to pass a test to graduate. You know, that's kind of closure. And some are willing to cheat on the test in order to pass. I mean, the means of what they tried to do was wrong. It's the wrong aspect of it. And remember, friends, we are living in a time when wrong is right and bad is actually good. The Ephraimites, in verses 22 to 26, they take Bethel, but in the process, they make a binding treaty with the man there and his family. The man was dislodged, but was permitted to build a new city and to continue his Canaanite practices. Mm-hmm. And this compromise solved no problem and went against God's directive.
Mm-hmm.
The result, the degeneration of an entire generation. That's going to be Judges 2 for us. There are over, friends, 21 sites or cities that are identified in this chapter alone that were not taken. Over and over again, rather than drive out or destroy the Canaanites and let them remain, the tail wags the dog. It will begin to take its toll, slowly but surely here. They let the Canaanites stay with them. And in verses 27 to 36 of chapter 1, Pastor Mark, it is just a total spiral downward of disobedience. I mean, the tribes are called out. The disobedience is going to eat away at the fiber of Israel's spirituality, physically, socially, politically. And we begin to see that these decisions will produce a very destructive legacy. Manasseh, he failed in verses 27 and 28 of chapter 1. And verse 29, Ephraim fails. Verse 30, Zebulun fails. Verses 31 and 32, Asher failed. Verse 33, Naphtali, he failed. And then in verses 34 through 36, you see Dan failed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Reuben and Gad are not mentioned because they are on the other side of the Jordan River. Levi had no territory, but lived among all the other tribes. Only the absence of Issachar is unexplained, but the presence of Issachar in Judges will be represented by Deborah, Barak, there in Judges 7, mm-hmm. also by Tola, another judge in Judges 10. I mean, they got it creative. Okay, all right, we didn't take them, but I'll tell you what we can do. We can make them forced laborers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're always, Pastor Mark, we're always trying to outthink God.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Doc O who said, you know, we become so smart, we're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think we're smarter than God.
Yeah.
They're saying we're going to make them forced laborers, and God's people start to get Canaanized, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
It starts little by little, inch by inch, and early on, we're going to see that idolatry is going to lead to immorality, and immorality is going to lead to absolute anarchy,
mm-hmm.
that there was no king, and so everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That is a theme verse that just keeps resurfacing through the book of Judges.
Mm-hmm.
Refusal to obey God will lead to spiritual compromise, and ultimately, it's going to lead us to spiritual defeat. And probably in your time in ministry, you've mm-hmm. actually seen all of that take place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's so easy and so common.
And it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Like the frog in the kettle. You know, it's mm-hmm. amazing. You hear people even talking on the news stations about, well, this is like the frog in the kettle. The water begins to warm little by little and eventually boils the frog in the kettle. If the mm-hmm. water was hot originally, the frog would be dropped in, he would explode out. And so it's not how we start, my friend, it's going to be how we finish.
Mm-hmm.
There has never been a comparable time in history when Christianity has had more competent creationists and apologists than we have today. And yet people are not persuaded. You go, mm-hmm. why? Not because of an enormous amount of intellectual objections to Christianity, no, but rather people make their own moral choices, and they believe they're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that follows the deception of the devil. He wants them to feel okay. Sad but true, this takes place also in the church. You walk into a Christian bookstore today, and you will be overwhelmed by the number of books not devoted to biblical studies, but books designed to help us cope with how the world has impacted us. Little by little, inch by inch, the sins of the culture have become the sins of the church. So, Pastor Mark, it isn't really surprising, is it, that through the religious and moral compromises of the Israelites, they become like the people they were supposed mm-hmm. to overcome.
Yeah, yeah. Natural assimilation.
Yeah, and I mean, it's easy for us to point mm-hmm. our fingers at them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how could they not listen to God? I mean, God mm-hmm. warned them. He told them, don't let this happen.
Yeah, and we do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. If not careful, mm-hmm. we will not only talk like the world, but we'll start living like the world. Mm-hmm. We get lulled into this moral compromise and we forget who we are in Christ and whose we are. You know, we've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Mm-hmm. Jesus simply said it very clearly. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love for God and obedience to God, my friend, are inseparable. I can say I love God, but if I'm not being obedient to what he's mm-hmm. asked me to do. And Pastor Mark, I think one thing that we see today is just a faithfulness to corporately worship with the body of Christ mm-hmm. is something that, we can make it today, or, it's not that big a deal if we miss.
Yep.
You know, and I think...
I talked this week with somebody who... hasn't been in church for quite some time. And I told him, I said, you know, without the church family, you're really kind of living life on your own. And the church gathering and the fellowship of believers, and they're called the church family because that's really what we are. And not just in word, but in spirit and in heart. And it is so important to have a church to fellowship with.
And there's nothing like, I mean, I can, you know, I mean, if you're not able to get out and you can watch online, that is a blessing, but so many are watching online when they should be corporately coming, and there's nothing mm-hmm. like being with a group of believers to worship the Lord. And you have the Hebrews passage there of not forsaking the assembling. I mean, that's a mm-hmm. command of God.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't create the church. God created the church. He the institutions of family, government, and church, mm-hmm. God did all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know where you are, friends, right now, but to think that you can be a victorious Christian and not be fellowshipping and worshiping together corporately, that, you know, you're following a path there where you're going to find sooner or later there's just this erosion that takes place.
Mm-hmm.
So the question for you as we close today is, what legacy are you leaving for your family?
Mm-hmm.
It's not how you start, my friend. It's going to be how you finish. And as long as you have breath and God has you here, you need to make correction. You can do it and keep moving forward. And that would be our challenge for you as we close the broadcast today. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to our next time as we jump into Judges chapter 2.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.